This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is the Sports Edge with Rick Wolf on your flagship station for New York sports. The Fan, Sports Radio 66 and 101.9 FM, WFAN New York.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to this week's edition of Rick Wolf's Sports Edge. I'm your host, Rick Wolf. So, let me ask you this. Is it okay for college athletes to be able to profit financially from any endorsements that use their name or image or likeness? Mind you, these outside ventures have nothing to do with the college athletic scholarships they have. Just a way to make some extra cash on the side and to do so without jeopardizing your college eligibility. Now, this issue has been bubbling up for a few years now, and it's very quickly coming to a head. All right, let me start at the beginning. For decades and decades in this country, there was a very distinct line between being a pro athlete and being an amateur or college athlete. In short, if you signed a contract to play pro ball, or ever got paid to play in a game, any game, your days as a college or amateur player were officially over. That was it. End of story. The same hard rules applied if you somehow tried to use or promote your name in a way related to sports. If you did that and you got caught, your days of playing in college were also done. Now, this is history. This goes back to the days of Jim Thorpe, who was paid a few bucks to play in a semi-pro games over a course of a couple of seasons. That innocent move was seen as having transformed Jim Thorpe, one of the all-time great legendary athletes, that was seen as transforming him into a pro, and thus Thorpe had to forfeit all the medals he'd won in the Olympics. In short, he lost his amateur status because of a few dollars he made playing semi-pro ball, not affiliated or organized baseball, semi-pro. And that was the cautionary tale that many of us grew up with. Be careful about your amateur status, because you make one wrong move, you never have a chance to reclaim your amateur status, nor you ever have a chance to play in college. In fact, I can recall my dad telling me when he was growing up on Long Island in the late 1930s that when he played semi-pro baseball, he would routinely change his name for the lineup. Why? Because he knew that when they passed the hat for a few bucks during those games, that of Duke University, where he matriculated, if they ever got wind of Bob Wolf getting pin money during the summer semi-pro leagues in New York, well, then my father's college baseball career would be officially over. He would be considered as a pro. But now let's fast forward to 2019, especially with so many top colleges making millions in profit from their sports team, primarily from TV contracts. This new movement has grown stronger and stronger that athletes should be able to cash in on their growing fame by signing whatever it might be, sneaker deals or doing TV commercials or whatever outside endorsement situations that come their way while they're still in college or perhaps even in high school. And they can do all of this and not jeopardize their amateur college playing status. Now, this is happening in California. I'm sure you've been reading about a new law that's planned to go into effect in California once the governor officially signs it. It basically says that all NCAA athletes can profit financially from the licensing of their name, their likeness, or from endorsements. And a similar, but even more far-reaching bill is here in New York State. It's being proposed that college athletes can collect as much as 15% of any university's athletic revenues. Now, I want to talk about this issue this morning because I think it's just going to, if it happens, and I think it is going to happen, it's just going to have a devastating sea change effect on the NCAA, on the whole way we regard amateurs versus professionals, particularly at the collegiate level. And, of course, we'll take your calls at 1-877-337-6666. Again, this is going to be a seismic shift in amateur sports in this country, and it might even spell the end of the NCAA. And quite frankly, it's just going to be seen as a stepping stone to the very next step where college athletes are paid by the universities. I mean, this is really going to blur the lines between amateur and pro athletes. And I'm curious as to what you think. I've talked to a lot of different people, and I think it's sort of breaking down on generational lines. People of the old school say, no, 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 we're not going to do this, can't do this. Kids in their 20s and 30s say, what's the harm? Let's do it. Simple as that. Okay, let's start our conversation this morning. Let's go to our friend Ed Ward over in Elizabeth. Ed, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Good morning, Rick. How you doing?
Ed, we lost you last week. We were on the phone, and all of a sudden you were gone. Did the cell phone die or something, or what?
Yeah, I guess I didn't charge it the night before. I guess I didn't make the adjustment to the new time change that you have, but I love it anyway.
Good. Okay, well, tell me about your thoughts about this.
Well, first of all, it's crazy how amateurism is, okay? I had a nephew who played college baseball, and he would work out at a facility where he went to college, where the team trained, and the owner there asked him, would you like to do lessons and all that stuff?
Right.
So he said, sure, can you figure extra pocket money and all that stuff?
Yeah.
He had to get clearance from the college and the NCAA to see if he could do that, and they said he couldn't do that.
I'm telling you, Ed, that's the world in which we grew up in, that this seems totally innocent. Kids in college want to make a few extra bucks, even if he's on a college scholarship. You had to get clearance, had to get permission, and the school might say, nah, it looks like there's some sort of possible infringement of losing your amateur status, so they're going to say no. I think a lot of young athletes today don't understand that's how it's been for a good long time. Is it fair? I mean, the athletes tell us that, well, all my other kids in college who are not on who are not athletes, you know, they're allowed to have part-time jobs. Why can't we?
And the crazy part is that, as you know, because you're a former college baseball coach, it wasn't a full scholarship. It was academic plus academic. So again, you know, his father had to shell out money, to finish up the course. But he wanted to make some extra money so maybe he can go out at night with some of his teammates, maybe go to an event and all that stuff.
Yeah,
he couldn't even do that. So I have no problem if a kid wants to make extra money. But as long as it's not to the point where these kids are making almost $1 million or whatever, because then it gets out of control.
I mean,
there should be certain guidelines to try to make a little extra money and all that. But I'll be honest, I'm against paying athletes in college because they're already getting paid with their college education and all that stuff.
That's what
I know the drawback. I know the drawback is, well, the colleges are making money off them. That is correct. But you know what? You're getting an education that could, at some schools could be for 4 years, $250,000 paid for if you played a major sport.
Ed, I hear you loud and clear, and as always, my thanks for the call. We're talking this morning about the situation with this whole new movement to let kids basically get paid for endorsing products while they're on college scholarship at the NCAA. All right, let me take a pause. John Minko has your update this morning. And when I come back, I'll go right to your calls at 1-877-337-6666.
You're listening to Rick Wolf and the Sports Edge on The Fan, Sports Radio 66 and 101.9 FM, WFAN, New York.
And we're talking this morning about these two new pieces of legislation that basically would allow college athletes on athletic scholarship, mind you, to be get paid for the commercialization of their name and likeness. Now, I got to tell you, the more I think about this, the more I discuss this with my colleagues, this is, my first instinct tells me this is going to happen. My second instinct tells me this is really going to rock the NCAA, and it's really going to, quite frankly, have lots and lots of implications and complications for coaches and everybody else. There's so many ways this thing can go down. I understand what the athletes are saying, that they're saying, well, you know, I get a full scholarship if you're playing basketball or football, but entails taking care of college tuition, books, room and board, so on and so forth. But I'm working there. I'm working 40 hours a week, basically, going to football practice or basketball practice. I don't have a chance to make any extra money. So if somebody wants to pay me to help endorse one of their products, what's wrong with that? After all, I don't have the time to get a part-time job like my other college classmates. Okay, I understand that. But first of all, understand that, yeah, if you're Zion Williamson, and I realize, of course, he's no longer a Duke, but if he was a Duke, I mean, he was a big, big deal. If somebody came to him and said, we want you to endorse our local car dealership, or we want you to endorse our pizza shop, or we want you to do this or that, yeah. But for the 99.9% of all college athletes who aren't Zion Williamson, who aren't a big name, this is going to have no impact whatsoever. It's just going to benefit those kids who already are on the fast track to become, you know, superstar professional athletes. It's complicated. What happens? Here's a situation. Like, I can foresee this kind of situation, conversation happening in a not-too-distant future. Hey, Pete, how come you weren't at practice today? You know we have a big game this Saturday, and today's practice was an important one for the entire team, and you weren't there. Coach, I think you must have forgot. Today was the day the local car dealership was taking photos of me. You know, they're paying me decent bucks just to hang out with their new cars and to pose with them. It's really a great gig. Coach doesn't understand. Come on, Coach. Thanks to that new law being passed, I can now make some decent coin and still play college ball. I don't have to worry about paying the bills. It's all good. Coach says, well, I guess so, but what about practice? What about the team? What comes first in your life? I mean, this is getting complicated. Well, let's talk about this. Let's go back to our callers. Let's go to our friend Jack Smithlin over in Fairlawn. Jack, what's your take on all this?
Rick, you know what? Let's just go back to the 60s. This is getting crazy. It's getting nuts. I'm against it. You know, I remember a report a couple years back. The football players at Northwestern, we talked about this, the football
yes.
players at Northwestern
they
wanted
the
university, they wanted to form a union and get paid by the university for playing.
Right.
Now, like Ed said, and you just mentioned, you know, these guys are on scholarship. All those other students that are not on scholarship, they're paying, you know, like you and your son and others. You know, when you leave college, you just don't walk away. You got to pay back hundreds of thousands of dollars sometimes.
Yep.
You know, so these scholarships, once again, are tax-free. You're not paying tax on the $60,000 for tuition and the other $25,000 for room, board, and books and meals and everything else. So, you know, they better think twice. And getting back to the endorsement thing, you know, it's a fine line. I just took this NCAA test. And like Ed said about his nephew wanting to do lessons.
Right.
That's doing something related to your sport. Now, if he went and gave soccer lessons, he'd be perfectly okay. But giving baseball lessons, you know what? He can't do it. But if he was to work in a camp in the summer, teaching baseball, getting paid by a franchise or a business such as, you know, Nike does the baseball camps in the summer. I work for them in the summer. I do softball and baseball camps for Nike. If it's to work for Nike, they could pay him outright. But once again, he's also getting paid a check, and he's also getting paid. He also has to pay taxes on that. So, you know, there's so many different things going on here. You know, plus a lot of these great athletes, you know, they have these other avenues to earn money, and you know they're not exactly the avenues that are wide open for everybody to know and understand, if you know the drift I'm taking right now. But it's a crazy world. I'm strictly against it, you know. But if you think about the kid being endorsed by the car dealership, it has nothing to do with his sport. So would the NCAA consider him a pro? I mean, that's the whole thing about amateur pro.
I'm telling you, the one of the concerns is, okay, who oversees all this? What kind of restrictions do you put on this? What are the penalties? It's a great idea. Hey, here's a way for kids to make extra cash. But once you get down to the nitty gritty, Jack, you got to sort of figure all these things out, and it's complicated. I know, you know, for some years I had heard, and perhaps you as well, that, you know, college kids would be given football tickets so that they could, you know, basically say, here are your tickets to the game. If you don't go, you can sell them. I mean, sort of underhanded way of doing this, but it's a way for the college athletes to make a few extra bucks.
I'm glad you brought that up. It is. I've witnessed that. So, you know, and we're not talking about, you know, schools like, you know, Notre Dame and Miami and the Big Ten schools. You're not talking about selling a ticket for $25 either, you know. You're talking about selling tickets for hundreds of dollars, you know, and a kid, if they were to sell their tickets, they could make thousands of dollars on a game. Because I think they get like six tickets a game, you know, and, you know, here, let's just say Notre Dame's playing Georgia last night. Look at that game. How much you think one of those tickets went for? So think about the extra money. They better think twice about what they're doing. But the one good thing, I think, and I'm not a big NCAA fan, it might fade the NCAA out of the picture.
Well, that's you know, what most people are saying. And, Jack, thank you as always for your thoughts. I'll talk to you soon.
You're more than welcome, Rick.
Thank you. And to Jack's point, you know, a lot of people are sort of saying, well, this all happens. And, of course, the NCAA is filing all sorts of documents trying to protest and keep these new laws from happening in California and presumably also in New York State. But the NCAA, people are saying, well, what is the purpose of the NCAA? How do we really even need them? You know, with the Power Five football conferences and stuff, do we really need the NCAA to even be involved anymore? And if that happens, I mean, then it gets to be real sort of disorganized chaos as to who runs the show and what the rules are and so on and so forth. It is complicated stuff, all because the younger generation says, why can't we cash in if we're playing college sports? Why can't we get some paydays? If we want to sell our likeness or use our face or our name, has nothing to do with jeopardizing our college scholarship. It's just a way to make some extra cash. Let's move on. Let's go to Rockland County, and Bill is standing by. Bill, good morning. You're on WFAN.
Good morning. Hey, Rick, first I want to say your father was fabulous, and when you look yourself in your mirror, you know that your dad is looking down on you very proud because you do a great job, a great service. I was a college athlete in community college, co-captain of a basketball team, and they reached out to me, the athletic department, to pay me $2.35 an hour in the 1970s to hand out tennis rackets, set up the cages for the baseball players in the spring.
Right.
And I don't think there was anything wrong with that, that the athletic department knew me and offered me an opportunity to make a minimum wage to hand out. Now, obviously, that's not about what your big topic is, about making big bucks to endorse stuff, but I just wanted to let you know that it's gone on for a while, and I don't see that that's an NCAA violation.
Bill, I also recall back when I was in college that, the athletic department would hire athletes a minimum wage to hand out doing sort of, gopher-type jobs, and there was no conflict. Nobody had a concern with that. It wasn't because we were getting paid in violation of the NCAA. I guess it was all on the up and up. But there are all these – it's almost as though the situations sort of depend on what's going down. Like when Ed earlier had called and said he had a nephew who was a college baseball player, but he wouldn't be allowed to coach or give – baseball lessons because that was an extension of the university and that was the concern and may violate NCAA rules. But as Jack said, but if the kid was giving soccer lessons, which was not his sport, then it would be okay. It gets very, very, very complicated.
Yeah, Rick, I see what Ed's saying. And you know, good for the university, better safe than sorry with the NCAA. But I also think that kind of is ridiculous that wasn't allowed.
I hear you, Bill, and thank you for your very, very nice sentiments about my dad. Obviously, I miss him every day, but thank you for your thoughts, Bill. I appreciate the call. I just want to follow up on that for a second. You know, I had a conversation last night with my son-in-law, Noah Savage, who's been a guest on the show. Noah was an all-Ivy basketball player at Princeton about 10 years ago, a terrific three-ball specialist, and now he does on-air work for ESPN covering college basketball. And he was one of the beneficiaries. You remember that Ed O'Bannon case a few years ago where there was a video game manufacturer, and they were using the likenesses of college players. Well, one of those college players happened to be Noah, and when he was playing at Princeton, and you know, this thing eventually came out. Well, it was ruled in the courts that the video manufacturer had to basically reimburse the players they'd use without their permission. They'd argued that, well, if they play at a university and we have a deal with the university, we don't have to pay those kids. But in this case, there was ruled that they had to. And so Noah got a nice little payment for that. And he was telling me last night, I don't see what's the problem here. Because as he pointed out, and somebody else pointed out this morning, a lot of situations today are, you know, kids come out of college with tremendous debt, and they have to pay it off. We know the college debt's in the trillions. It's a big, big concern. And if you're a college athlete, as Jack pointed out, you're getting free room and board if you get a full scholarship. There's not really what is the drawback? All I know is it's very complicated. The younger generation sees no issue with this. And quite frankly, I do think this is going to happen. The question is going to be what kind of restrictions are placed on all this. All right, let me take a pause. After Mink's update, I'll come back. We'll go back to the topic again. Of course, give me a shout here at 1-877-337-6666.
You're listening to Rick Wolf and the Sports Edge on The Fan, Sports Radio 66 and 101.9 FM, WFAN, New York.
And we're talking this morning about whether college kids should have the right to get paid, for endorsing products and being spokesmen and to basically license their face and name outside their college athletic scholarships. We're getting a pretty good response to this at 1-877-337-6666. Before I forget, be sure to check out AskCoachWolf.com. We get lots and lots of traffic and readership on that website. And, of course, you can always post your thoughts and comments and read what I have to say on these topics. You can also follow me on Twitter. I go to hashtag at Coach Wolf. I routinely announce my upcoming show's topic on my Twitter account, usually by Thursdays. And Secrets of Sports Psychology Revealed. You know, you really ought to buy a copy for your son or daughter who plays sports. As you've heard me say many times on the show, kids today focus so much on the physical aspects and training regarding their sports, but they rarely spend any time working under mental preparation. And this book, Secrets of Sports Psychology Revealed, will definitely help them. All right, let me ask you this before we get back to the calls. If this goes through, this law, and I think it will, does the college coach have any say as to what his or her athletes do with their off-the-field endorsements or deals? Suppose you're a college football or basketball coach and a gambling operation approaches one of your top players and asks him or her to be a spokesman for their website or betting line. Does a college coach have a right to step in and say to the player, you know, I know you can do this legally, but I'm not sure it's the best way of doing this in terms of presenting the team and the college if you're affiliated with a fantasy league team or a betting operation? Does that happen? I mean, who puts the restrictions on the kids? How is this all sorted out? Or maybe there are no restrictions whatsoever. Let's go back to our calls. Let's go to Chris in Connecticut. Chris, good morning. You're next up on The Fan.
Good morning. Great topic. Absolutely, they should get paid. Everything, all the rules, regs, and everything are already in place. They just need to pull them down from what professionals and then so forth are set, meaning this. Like, as far as gambling goes, no, that's a simple one because it can have an undue influence. Coach-wise, they have say as far as when their players come and go and that kind of thing. If you run everything through the college itself or the NCAA, they can all make their little vig off it while everybody else gets paid. Schools get reimbursed scholarship-wise. But you're only talking about a real small segment overall anyways.
Chris. We know that, as I said before, you know, we're talking about 99% of all the college athletes will not have any profit in this whatsoever. It only goes to the big superstars that are already, you know, probably, you know, do have agents, you know, getting deals for them and perhaps, you know, doing situations where they're perhaps they shouldn't, they are trying to violate the NCAA rules. We know a lot. So I think it's kind of like a, something which is nice for kids to dream about, but again, unless you're a super duper star, you're not going to get any money for a licensing or endorsement deal while you're still in college.
What are your thoughts on the, like, jersey sales, all that stuff? All these colleges are making insane money, the games, everything else. If you just have a straight percentage or whatever when you sign, then they don't get the money per se while in college, but once they get out, they get that bucket, or they get some money that they can use for spending, like allocated like $200 a week, that kind of thing.
Chris, it's such a mind-boggling concept to me. Let's go up, for example, like with T-shirts. Okay, so if a kid is playing for the University of Michigan football team, and the T-shirts they're selling are just, you know, Michigan Go Blue and that kind of stuff, and it has the kid's name on the jersey, well, does the school retain all that revenue, or do they have to share that with the kid who's got his name on that T-shirt? I don't know how that breaks down. I don't know how that works. If the shirt does not have the kid's name on it, then the kid doesn't get any money of that. But if it does have his name on it or his face, he should get something. I mean, Chris, you're a sharp guy. You realize this is very complicated stuff, and I don't know how much the school or the NCAA can regulate this and keep an eye on it. It just seems like an endless situation to figure out who gets what and how much.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. I don't think it's as complicated as everybody wants to make it out to be, because the powers that be then don't get their fair share's worth, or at least what they deem it necessary.
Yeah.
You know, it's, you know, like a standard 10% or whatever, you pay back the scholarships, and then after that is when it kicks in for kids earning money, if a name or a number is associated with it, kind of thing. And then, you know.
Those are interesting thoughts. It gets to be a very complicated, I think, accounting situation for sure. Chris, let me get some other calls. Thank you for your thoughts.
Alrighty.
I appreciate it. You bet.
And,
you know, Chris is bringing up, thinking this through. Okay, what happens? You know, how does this work? Do you get payback from the licensing deals? Does it go back towards reimbursing the kid for his college scholarship? It gets complicated. Let's go to Gary in Lavalette, New Jersey. Hey, Gary, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Hi, Gary.
Yes, Gary.
I kind of understand what the guy was talking about before, but it's all centers around who can get a taste. The NCAA should get a little taste of it. Obviously, it's going to happen. But the NCAA, the college, whoever, and the kid should get the majority of the money, but everybody else who's involved in order to make this kid a college athlete should get a taste. Once that happens, it'll be smooth. I just believe that. I think it's, and you know what's going to happen. So it's business as usual.
Well, Gary, here's the problem. Let me put this down this way. All right, so you're a sports parent, and your son is on the on a college Division I football team, and he sees that the starting quarterback is getting all these licensing and endorsement deals because the kid is a starting QB, okay? Your son is a backup quarterback, and because he's not getting any playing or starting time, he doesn't get any of these deals. So the parent, the father, and the kid is thinking to the coach, you know, you're costing me money, because if my kid was a starter, then he would get all these other licensing and endorsement deals, and you're not doing that. I can't. You're basically costing my kid money because you're not starting him. I can see that situation happening, you know? So
I don't agree with you. I don't agree with you, because the really good athletes get the accolades. There's no doubt about it. If your guy's second string, it really doesn't matter, because it's everything is centered around money. And if your kid is not as good as the other kid, yet the other kid gets the money. Well, what I was alluding to is the fact that everything's a business.
Yes.
The kid who has the ability and can perform should get the prize. That's exactly what happens in business, no matter what. As a result, the NCAA should get a little piece of the action. The kid, let's say the guy, an endorsement is like $200,000. The college.
Let me stop you there. Why should the NCAA get any part of the action on this? This has nothing to do with the NCAA. They're getting big bucks. you know, from the TV contracts for basketball and football. Why do they get in part of a kid's endorsement deal?
Because they are part of the entire situation. You know, it's like a just picture that any business where there's a pyramid. It keeps going down. If they don't get something, they're going to bitch about it. Yep. I'm sorry. I apologize for that.
That's all right. But I hear you. But so that's what I'm saying. I think, to your point, this is a business, because what's going to happen is as kids go through this, and the kids who are anointed as stars by the college's publicity machine, they're the ones who are going to attract all the attention from the endorsers and everything else. If that kid gets beaten out for his job, or he's not good enough, and somebody takes a spot, you know, that's going to cause a disruption. It's going to cause real concerns as to who's getting paid what. It really sends a very difficult, complicated message, and it just makes the coach's job that much more difficult to keep all these kids happy, because you know the kid on the who's the star, presumably he's getting all this extra income. The kid who's sitting behind him gets nothing. It's really weird. It gets very, very dicey, and it really gets right to the core of, like, well, we are a team. Are we all together? Well, we're a team. But, and Gary, thank you for the call. Are we a team, or because he gets paid money because he's a starter? I think this is very complicated stuff. As I said before, it gets complicated in terms of what happens of who, you know, the coaches. Can they basically tell a kid, no, I don't want you being a spokesman for this particular company, because I think it's going to get complicated? I mean, it's got to be really well thought out and really sort of well defined. And I know that, you know, and the other thing, too, quite frankly, is that, let's be honest, most of the university's athletic programs do not make money. Big-time programs, not all of them make money. A lot of them lose money. In fact, there was a picture in the Times a couple of days ago, Oklahoma, big-time football program, playing at USC in the Coliseum. And, you know, this is two big-time storied teams, and I'm looking at the photo in the Coliseum, and there's, like, nobody there. There was nobody. I'm thinking, well, maybe they took this photo, you know, 2 hours before game time, before they opened the gates. But no, it was like in the second quarter, and there was nobody at the game. How can that be? I mean, that spoke volumes to me. And I've heard for years now that a lot of the big-time programs like Florida State in football, you know, they have a hard time getting kids to go, people come to the home games, because for a reason they've either lost interest or they're watching the game on TV or they're streaming it. But I really think there's concerns about the golden goose here with college sports, and maybe it's going away. Let me take a quick call from Louis. He's been waiting a long time. Louis, good morning. You're on the Fan.
Hi, Rich. How are you?
Louis, I'm good. What do you got for me?
Well, what I think is this. I think that the players should be paid, but it should be distributed amongst all the team players on the team. Maybe the guy that's getting the endorsement gets 20%, and the other 80% is distributed between all the team players on the team.
Louis, that's a good idea, and because I do think that if we're concerned about kids, you know, want team unity, whatever, that might make sense if he said, okay, we got a star player here, but all my guys, all my teammates, all my buddies, we're all going to share in my ability to get a few bucks for you. So that would make a lot of sense to me. And I think, because I do think this is going to happen, I do think this is going to go through, but that would be the right thing to do for any college athlete to say, okay, I'm lucky, somebody's giving me a big bucks here to endorse their product, but I'm going to share it with all my teammates. I think that makes a lot of sense, Louis, and I'm glad you brought that up. Thank you for that. Appreciate it. You know, and I think that's exactly what we're talking about here. Once this whole process goes forth, and as I said, I do think it's going to go forth, I think we're going to have to figure out a way to get around all the unforeseen circumstances, plot this out carefully, give it some time to work it through, and then figure out, okay, what makes the most sense in terms of all the kids on the team, what works for the coaching staff, what works for everybody involved in this, because it gets, it could really backfire in a major way. And as I said, the NCAA is going to have to really think this through. If they want to remain viable and stay in the picture, they got to make sure they know what they're doing. All right, let me take a pause. When I return, I'll go back to your calls at 1-877-337-6666. And back here on the Sports Edge, we're talking about this movement, which is, I think, is going to happen, where college athletes who are on athletic scholarship are now demanding that they get paid. If any endorsement deals come up for them, or they can license their name and their likeness. And it's very, very complicated. A lot we've heard this morning from a lot of different callers about, you know, how this could backfire or go sideways. But I do think it's going to happen. Question is, who's going to oversee all this? Is it going to be done by the individual universities, by compliance officers, by the NCAA? Is the NCAA still going to be involved in any of this? Because they're getting more and more marginalized by the big conferences. Very interesting stuff. How does it play out at the grassroots level in terms of kids on university or college teams? If they get some money for a licensing deal, do they share it with their teammates? Do they keep it all for themselves? Do sports parents come and tell the college coaches, you know, if my kid were getting more starting or playing time, he'd get licensing money instead of the kid who's getting it now? Very, very complicated, and it goes in a lot of different directions. Let's continue with our callers at Mike out of East Rockaway. Mike, good morning. You're on the fan.
Good morning, Rick. Long time no speak. Been listening to your show, you know, many, many years on a Sunday. Rick, interesting, and I always make it quick. Complicated issue. The athletes, the teams that bring and generate millions to the universities, I think they're entitled to get a part-time job, endorse something. But then again, you said, Rick, licensing, endorsement. I think the NCAA is a corrupt system overall, but that's another story. they deserve a chance because what do they get? They get a scholarship, but everything else is on their own. They have an opportunity and should receive that opportunity to make some money on certain issues, you know?
Mike, you had kids who played college ball, it's an interesting concept. As I said earlier in the show, I think this breaks down along generational avenues, meaning that the people who are older say, no, you don't want to ever blur the line between being a pro and being an amateur. But the younger kids are saying, what's the difference? I mean, you know, we don't want to end up out of college with a lot of college debt. This is a way maybe to make a few extra bucks. If we're working in a D1 program as a college athlete, we don't have any time to make extra money. So this is the way to cash in whatever fame and fortune we may have. It's
without a doubt,
stuff,
Rick.
You
without
know?
A doubt. Yep. Yeah. And Rick, I'll let you go. Dad, I know someone mentioned, and your dad, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. My father, I miss him every day. Would have been 91, 3 years past. He met your dad, in the early 60s.
Well,
and today, I'm going to Long Beach, and I'm going to bring the copy of Harvard Boys because there's a few chapters I want to reread. And Rick, all the best to you and your show and what you do.
Mike, thank you as always for being such a loyal fan. I greatly appreciate your thoughts. Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Rick. All the best. Thank you.
You bet. Take care. And just to sort of wrap up this issue, because it is so complicated. And as I said, in fact, I think it was Jack Smithlin who mentioned earlier, a few years ago, the athletes, football players at Northwestern were trying to start a union, which was sort of headed in this direction. It wasn't as specific as I recall about licensing deals, but clearly it was heading towards this. And now we have this bill, which has basically been pretty much universally embraced in California. It's now waiting, I believe, for Governor Newsom to sign it into law, but it would allow college kids to do endorsement deals while they're in school. Of course, a lot of complications, implications. If this does happen, it would certainly give all the colleges in California a tremendous advantage. All those coaching programs, coaches would have a chance to, it's a big recruiting advantage to say, you can come to school in California and do an endorsement deal if you're a star. And we also know there's some action here in New York State to do a similar thing, and we'll see if that gets any traction here in New York State. Part of that bill is to say that the athletes would get 15% of all revenues that the university they play for, what they generate. But we know, as I said, a lot of universities, most of them don't make any money, so it gets complicated. I just don't know how this is going to play out. I do think it's going to happen, but as I said, it's going to be difficult to figure out how this works, who gets paid, if you're competing against the kid, and that kid gets the nod to be the starter, you know, and he gets all the accolades and gets all the endorsement deals, you're going to feel like, well, I'm as good as he is, or I'm as good as she is. How come I'm not getting more money out of this thing? It's really going to be interesting. And of course, it puts pressure on the coaches to say, well, I'm not sure you really want to be involved. Do you really want to be involved with endorsing that operation or that company or that name? Is that something you want to attach to your likeness? Is that a good fit for you? I mean, this is, yeah, you can see where I'm going with this. It's complicated. Will it happen? Yeah, I do think it's going to happen. Is it going to be something that we're going to be proud of? I just don't know. And again, this is going to start to take place and gain more and more momentum in the next few, next couple of years, if not sooner. Again, we'll see how this plays out. And it may also mean nothing. It may go nowhere because only so few kids actually benefit from this in the long run. Again, something to talk about as we see this progresses in the months and years to come. Okay, that's going to do it for me in this edition of the Sports Edge. My thanks this morning to Antonio Grillo. Please stick around for the morning line. That is up next. I'll see you next Sunday right here on the Sports Edge.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.